through the next section of the London Baptist Confession. I looked at it in his own creation. We'll read through Genesis. We're also going to read through the Confession. I want to introduce some things with science and just talk about God's sovereignty in creation. So, if we were to do the things I'd like us to think about as we're getting started, as we read through Genesis, is God's sovereignty. How these verses apply to us. What are our roles? Why did God create animals differently, and people, and countries, and land, and sea? Why do things have different uses? And how does it apply to us today? And how can this be a benefit to us? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and morning was the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. Stop here for just one moment. Do you know the nearest star to us at the speed of light is many, the moon, to be precise, the moon is 1.3 seconds away at the speed of light. The sun is 8.3 minutes away at the speed of light. And the nearest star at the speed of light are months away. Our universe is so enormous. If you think about God creating, why did he create the sun to be brighter and space it into the moon? And yet we sit here, people all around the world, and if we were to walk down the beach and find a watch sitting there, we would not say, "Oh, look, this watch just created itself. Lightning must have struck this." Because the complex movement, it's obvious to see this watch had someone who fashioned it. Yet we can create anything. We can take things that are already formed, that we have basic elements, and we can manipulate them. But we cannot create. So as we read through this, think about the moon and the light and stars. Stars have magnitudes from 1 to the 10th magnitude. And I'll talk in just a minute some scientific things we studied about light and stars and the magnitude of our universe. But I think we need to read Genesis. Sometimes it reads through so quickly that we lose the sovereignty, the magnificence, the fact of just speaking and oceans form. Speaking in land forms, speaking in the moon forms, the sun forms. It's amazing. and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. God so created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, just with his word, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now think about the perversion we have today where man is not given dominion. Man doesn't want dominion. In fact, we need to alter our life substantially for things in which we have dominion over. Think about that. Think about the perversion of some of the movements that people think are helping man, but in actually it's man who's created in God's image is made to steward the resources. We are to steward. We are commanded to take care of the earth, but we're not at the mercy of things. We are to have stewardship. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, it was in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So Genesis chapter 1 frames the entire Bible. Think about it. You've got to start there. You can't say that it's evolutionary, that it happened over billions of years. You have to start with a known truth, a known word. What do you know? What do you base your life upon? Are they God's words? Or are they things and ambitions of men? I will now read from the London Baptist Confession, chapter 4. In the beginning it pleased God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of his glory, of his eternal power, wisdom, goodness, to create or make the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all was very good. So you see in John 1, verse 2 and 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made. So that's a critical point. There was nothing made that was made without God. And in Romans 1:20, we will see. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. You know, it's intuitive if you were to walk around, and this is my example of a watch on the beach. Even the most pagan person would have to say that wasn't created from a lightning strike or from nothing exploding. So there really are no atheists. There are liars. Because the Bible says in our heart is written God's Word. And God's Word says in Romans 1:20 that no one will have excuse. So are there atheists? There are people who lie to themselves. They know there is a God. Section 2. After God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, rendering them fit and to that life to God for which they were created. Being made after the image of God in knowledge and righteousness, true holiness, having the law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill it. And yet under a possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject to change. So we'll read here in Romans 2, 14 through 16. This is a verse that we'll go over, which will prove this point. For Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things of the law. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So there is a conscience. There is an absolute. There is a standard. We all have something. We say, why is there a right? Why is there a wrong? It's God's word. That is the standard. There is no other standard. Genesis 3, 6 and 7. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They weren't damaged by sin. They weren't slightly altered by sin. They were dead in sin. We are dead in sin. Without Jesus Christ saving us, we are completely dead in sin. It's by His grace alone. Section 3. Beside the law written in their hearts, they received the command not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which whilst they kept, they were happy in their communion with God, and they had dominion over the creatures. I'm going to read further how life changed for them. But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you will surely die. See, sin entered the world through the first Adam, and we can have forgiveness through the second Adam, Jesus Christ. We've had a fatal flaw, not an injury, but death. And it needs God's unmerited favor, and nothing inside of us can save us from our sins. So as we read this today, who is God in our life? Did God create the world in just 6 days? Or did He need additional time? Who is God? What is your proof? From where do you get your knowledge? Do you consult a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Or do you rely upon prescription medications? Now all these have some benefit. But what is your truth? What do you rely upon? Jesus has 21 names that He refers to Himself in Revelations. 21 different names that describe His characteristics. And it starts in chapter 1, verse 5. The firstborn from the dead. Going through also chapter 1. The highest of earthly kings. The Alpha and Omega, the Lord God, the Almighty, Son of Man, first and last, the Living One, Son of God, Witness, Creator, Lion of Judah, Root of David, the Lamb, the Shepherd, the Christ, Anointed, Faithful and True, Word of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Beginning and the End. God is sovereign in creation. Why were we created? Why did God create the world the way He did? From microcosm to macrocosm to floating atoms, who can question His sovereignty? Revelations 4, 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. So I thought, what does glory mean? What is glory? Brightness, as we define it, luster, splendor. In 2 Peter 1, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from an excellent glory. In this passage, Peter, the latter word glory refers to the visible splendor, our bright cloud that overshadowed Christ at his transfiguration. The former word glory, though the same in the original, is to be understood in a figurative sense. Glory also means splendor or magnificence. Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like the flowers of the field. The heavens shall declare your glory. Psalm 19. Then Babylon was the glory of kings in Isaiah 13. And that's why it was destroyed. See, when we seek our pride, it comes before a fall. It's because we're no longer glorifying God. We're glorifying ourselves. So as we look through these, why did God create the sun and the moon? Why were there stars of different magnitudes? Why are these seemingly amazing inequities exist? Why do some countries are rich with oil and natural resources while others are dry? Why are there deserts and icelands? Why are there jungles? Why is two-thirds of the earth uninhabitable by us? Do you ever think of these things? It's for His glory. It's His design. He wanted it that way. He did not seek anyone's counsel or anyone's opinion on doing this. It is for God's glory. Why are there shooting stars, falling stars, wandering stars? In Revelation 4:11, it says it's for thy pleasure. Scientists tell us there are between 1 billion and 1 trillion galaxies with over a septillion stars. I had to look up, what is a septillion? It is a 1 with 24 zeros. That's what a septillion is. I did a little math. Assuming we were 7 billion people, each person would have 142 trillion stars. That's how huge our universe is. Right at the speed of light, you could cross the Milky Way. It would take you 120 years, just our known galaxy. And we are one of many galaxies. We can only see 2,500 stars from any place on Earth with our naked eye. And yet there are 7 trillion stars to be viewed. And yet God says He holds the universe in a galaxy of His hand. Galaxy and the universe in the palm of His hand. And yet we live in fear. We live in discouragement. We're so easily bewildered and made flappable. How can we live more unflappably? How can we seek God? How can we fall on our face in the reverence of holy God and realize His sovereign control? It says in God's Word, there's no power on earth that He does not set up. You know, Pharaoh was appointed by God. Do you know that? For His good. We must understand God's sovereignty to live a life of gratitude. The problems you face today are because of God's sovereignty. The leaders who run this world are for God's sovereignty. If we want to cry out to God, or a nation to cry out to God, what causes us to cry out? Is it ever ending peace and joy and prosperity? Or is it me that causes us to cry out? For our own life, do we cry out? Do we fast? Do we cry out to God when things are going fantastic for us? Or do we easily forget? Why, Israel was only a matter of days outside of Egypt, and they began to miss the flesh pots. Do we look over our shoulder? Are we like Lot's wife? Have we been delivered, and yet we somehow have a lack of gratitude. Why is a donkey a beast of burden? It a lion runs free. Why are some people born with IQs of 145, 150, and others are born barely able to function? Why is there so much apparent inequity? Or is it God's sovereignty and all things for God's glory? You know, I had a young man tell me one time, he goes, he was not a Christian, but he said, you know, I oftentimes get myself depressed. He was a wealthy man, ran a business. He says, I remember that growing up, my parents, they took care of children who had mental handicaps. And in our home, we had no fewer than 30 people living with us at all times. And most of them were Mongoloid children. He said, the funny thing about them is they're always joyful. No matter what they could not do, and the patience they had, he said, it was amazing. He said, I could come back to see my parents right now and walk through the door, and these children would remember me, and they would run and hug me and kiss me and say they had missed me and were so glad to see me, yet they had nothing. They would never drive a car. They would never have a family. They would never have the cares and concerns of the world, which are seemingly such a blessing, yet they so easily bewail us. Are we grateful today? Are we aware of the magnitude of God? There is an order in God's kingdom. From the archangel, the seraphim, to the cherubim, to the principalities, to powers, to rulers. Why do we somehow think there's some needs to be some different equity? And that there's somehow some inequity in life? Was it equity for Pharaoh, for God to harden his heart? Was that fair? Or was it for God's glory? These are things we must ponder when we think of God's sovereignty. Psalms 115:3. Our God is in the heavens and has done whatsoever he has pleased. Psalms 115:3. Who is your God? Is he creator? Is absolutely sovereign? Executing his own will, performing his own pleasure, considering not but his own glory. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Proverbs 16:4. He is God. Who can resist? To criticize him is a sin of the deepest dye. To question his ways or to impugn his wisdom. To murmur against him is rank rebellion. Have we forgotten who God is and who we are? Because it also says in Scripture that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So today, shall we consider how we are viewing God, how we view His sovereignty, how we view what we think of America is fair, is equitable. In the land of our country where individualism and individualistic opinion and expression is viewed in the highest order, we've never seen a king or lived under a king. We don't understand sovereignty. For us, it's a point of imagination. It's a point of presupposition. It's a point of consideration. We would do well to consider such things. Thank you.